This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ود كثير من أهل الكتاب. Many of the people of the scripture wish. What do they wish? لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا. If they could turn you back to disbelief after you have believed. ود is from the root letters waw, dal, dal. ود يود is to love someone, to like someone. But in particular, ود or would is used for pure love, خالص المحبة, intense love for something. And when the word ود or would is used for wishing, when it is used for desiring, it means to intensely long and desire for something, to yearn for something, to wish for something. So ود كثيرٌ, meaning they love this, they want this to happen, they desire it from all their heart. Who? كثيرٌ من أهل الكتاب. كثير is from the root letters كاف, ثا, را. The word كثرة, abundance, is from the same root. So كثير, many. Meaning majority, most of, many. From among, من أهل الكتاب. أهل, as we discussed earlier, is used for family. It is used for household, and it is also used for those people who have something or those who deserve something. So, Ahlul Kitab, people of the book, because they have the book, meaning the Yahud and the Nasara. What do they wish? لو يردونكم, if they could turn you back. يردون is from the root letters را, دال, دال, رد. را, دال, دال, رد. And رد is to send something back, or to send someone back. Basically, رد is to reject something. Something is coming, and رد is to reject it. What does رد mean? Something comes, and you reject it. So it is when something is turned back, when something is returned, when something goes back to where it came from. So what do they want? That if they could turn you back, you were in one place, you changed, meaning you were disbelievers, you became believers, and they wish to turn you back to your state of disbelief. If they could only turn you back, مِن بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ, after your iman. Iman is from Hamza Mim Noon. If they could only turn you back from your iman into kuffarun, into disbelievers. The word kuffar is the plural of the word kafir. And kafir is from the root letters kafara. So what do we learn? That the majority from among the Ahlul Kitab, they want that the Muslims, that the believers, they should turn back to their ways of disbelief. Notice, they want that the believers should turn back to their ways of disbelief, not that they should become Yahud or Nasara, but that they should go back to their ways of disbelief. We see that in Mecca and Medina, in both, many people converted to Islam. Many people converted to Islam. And this was something that was very difficult for the people of the book to bear. They did not like that these Arabs, who were the Ummiyun, who were the unlettered people, the illiterates, now they have become Muslim, now they have a book, now they're following the messenger, and they did not like the state of unity of the Muslims at all. We see that the Aus and Khazraj, the two tribes of Medina, they were in conflict up until the time that they became Muslim. And once they became Muslim, they were like brothers. So this was very difficult on the Ahlul Kitab. So this is why they would every now and then come up with questions, come up with objections. They would create doubts in the hearts of the believers. Why? To make the believers lose their faith. And sometimes, actively, they would come up with the Muslims and tell them to return to their ways of disbelief. For example, it is said that a group from among the Yahud, they call Hudhayfa and Ammar radiallahu anhu towards their faith. But both of them, they declined. They said, no, we're going to remain Muslim. And then this ayah was revealed. So because of this reason, they would create many doubts. They would spread a lot of false propaganda. And this has been the case in every era. in the time of the Prophet ﷺ and even today. That whenever a person becomes more serious about his deen, about his faith, a person becomes more active about his religion, what happens? Other people become very alert. And they cannot tolerate that he is exceeding in his deen. They cannot tolerate that he is excelling in his deen. They want him to stop. They want him to go back to his wrong ways. For example, if a person begins to wear hijab, oh my God, she's wearing hijab. Why? Stop her. Don't let her do that. Similarly, if a person is praying salah, if a man has grown a beard, why is he doing that? Stop him. If a person has gone to study the Quran, stop him. So this has been the opposition that the believers have faced from the beginning. And they face it today as well. So we are being warned over here that when you become serious about your religion, there are other people who want you to leave your religion, to abandon your faith, to abandon your practice. Why do they do that? What is the problem? Why don't they want us to excel in our religion? حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Because of jealousy from themselves. The word hasad is from the root letters ha, seen, dal. And hasad is jealousy, envy, ill will for someone. Basically, hasad is to wish for decline of a blessing that another is enjoying. What is it? To wish for decline of the blessing that the other person is enjoying. So hasad is that a person does not want him to have that blessing anymore. For example, if a person gets, you know, a very nice pen, and the person sitting next to them is envious, what do they wish? That they shouldn't have it and I should have it. That this person should not have money and I should have it. This person should not have this particular bag, I should have it. What is this? That to wish that the ni'mah, the blessing that another person is enjoying, they should lose it. They should not have it anymore. This is what hasad is. And it is also that a person wishes that he should not enjoy it anymore, the other person should not enjoy it anymore, and instead he should enjoy it. So there's two things in jealousy, in hasad. First is that the blessing that the other person is enjoying, he should lose it. The second is that I should get it. I should have it. A person wants it for himself. So over here, the people of the book, what is their problem? Their problem is hasadan, envy. They don't like the fact that you have a book now, that you have a prophet, that you have a deen, you have a masjid, you are united. They don't like that. They're envious, they're jealous, and they don't want you to enjoy this blessing of deen. They want this blessing to be taken away from you. And Allah says, مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ, from themselves. What does it mean by from themselves? مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ is connected with وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ. It is connected with وَدَّ. It is not connected with hasad. Okay? So what does it mean? That their love for your kufr, their desire for your disbelief, is a wish that they have from themselves. Meaning it is not because they have the haqq, they have the truth, and they want you to accept the truth. No. It is just a feeling that they have from themselves. It is not that they want you to join them. They just want you to suffer. حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And they have this envy, مِنْ بَعْدِ, after, مَا that, تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ, after the truth has become clear to them. The word tabayyana is from ba, ya, nun. Bayyina, bayyinat. They're all from the same root. So tabayyana, it became clear. It became manifest. After the truth became manifest to them. What does it mean? That after the truth of the Prophet ﷺ, after the truth of the Quran has become clear to them, still they want you to leave that truth. They know that you are on truth, but they want you to leave it. We learned that the Bani Israel, they were waiting for the Prophet ﷺ to come. When he came, they recognized him. مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. But they did not accept him. Why? Because of jealousy. And because of the same jealousy, they did not want the Muslims to remain Muslim either. So what now? The Muslims over here are being warned that this will happen. Once you become serious about your religion, there are people who are going to want to stop you. There are people who are going to be jealous of you. But over here, we are being told that we should be careful, meaning we should not become angry with them or upset with them or take revenge from them. But this is something that we should be aware of. When we find out that somebody is jealous of us, somebody wants that a blessing that we have should be taken away from us, how do we feel? How do we feel? Very upset. How dare she? Who is she to think like that? She doesn't have, and that's why she's thinking like that about me? We become very angry. You become very upset. But we see that many times, if a person reacts in this situation, what does he do? He brings harm to himself. Many times. For example, if you know that somebody is envious of you because you have a particular job or you're married to a particular person, then what happens? If you go and show your anger, what's going to happen? It's going to affect the relationship. It's going to affect your relationship with them. It's going to show a very bad image of you. When a person shows anger, when a person becomes angry, it shows that person is very weak. And the image of a person is completely destroyed. You will see people who become furious in public. What do you think of them? What do you think of them? They embarrass themselves. They bring disgrace upon themselves. So over here, the Muslims are not being told to react in response. That they want you to become disbelievers and, oh, you should react. No. This is not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this. What He is telling us is that we should be aware, we should be conscious, and instead what should we do? Farfu, pardon. Wasfahu, and forgive, overlook. Pardon them, overlook their faults, overlook their opposition. Farfu is from the root letters Ayn Fawel. And Afun is to forgive. We did the word Afawna earlier. When the Bani Israel worshipped the calf, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? ثُمَّ عَفَوْنَا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. So عَفْوٌ literally means to erase something. What does it mean to erase something? And عَفْ, when it's used for forgiveness, is when a person forgives another and does not inflict punishment or does not take revenge. Does not take revenge from the one who has caused the anger, does not inflict revenge on the person who has done something wrong. So basically, af is to forgive and not take revenge. Then Allah says, don't just forgive and not take revenge, but wasfahu, overlook as well. Isfahu is from the root letters sad, fa, ha, safh. The word safh, you get many meanings out of this word. Safh is used for the palm of the hand as well. Palm of the hand. It's plain, it's flat. Similarly, musafaha from the same root is used for handshake. Why? Because you join the palm of the hand with the other person's palm. Right? Safha, which is from the same root, is used for a sheet, for a paper, because it is smooth and straight. So we get the meaning of straightness, when something is smooth, when something is straight. So, safh is to forgive someone and make the relationship smooth. How? By turning away from the wrong thing that the person has done. It is said, صَفْحَةُ الْعُنُقْ is to turn one's neck away. What does it mean? To turn one's neck away. So imagine you have something in front of you and you turn your neck away from it. What does that mean? Are you going to see it anymore? No. You're not going to see it anymore. So, صَفْح is to forgive and forget. Do not even remember or talk about the wrong that the other person has done. Do not embarrass the person who has done wrong. Because many times they say, yes, you know when you did that, I forgave you, it's okay, but you know when you did that, that's not safh. Even if you forgive and you talk about it, you continue to embarrass the person, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is, safh is, you forgive, you forget, you don't talk about it. It's like you turn the page. Safha is page. So you just turn it. That's it. It's over. It's history now. Khalas. Finished. Move on. So farfu wasfahu. What does it mean? Forgive them. Don't punish them. Don't try to take revenge. And turn away from the wrong things that they do. Turn away from the wrong things that they do. Don't give much importance to them. This is what it means. Don't give much importance to them. What do we do? When we find out that somebody does not like us, or somebody has ill feelings against us, all our attention goes on them. Okay, what is she saying? What is she talking about? What did she say to them? What did she say to my husband? Okay, what email did she send? One thing after the other, we become so curious that we take the peace of our hearts away. We become paranoid. Over here, farfu wasfahu. Just don't make it a big deal at all. Just ignore it. Ignore whatever they do. Hatta until ya'ti Allahu bi amri. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about a command. Which command? As to how to deal with them. But for now, just turn away. And we know that in Medina, the Muslims, they continue to tolerate the bad things that the Bani Israel would do. So many times they went against the contract that they had made with the Muslims. And each time, the way of the Muslims was forgive and forget, overlook, ignore, move on. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command came, and they were expelled from Medina, the Bani Israel, because of their own faults, because of their own wrongdoing. So over here Allah says, فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah is able over everything. Many times we think that if we continue to forgive and forget and overlook the other person's faults, we become weak. We think that why should I have to suffer? They can do whatever they want and I should not take revenge? No, I am going to take revenge. I am going to say something. I am something as well. Yeah, we say we have to teach them a lesson. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Have some patience. Allah is able to do everything. He will take care of the matter for you. Right now, if you react, you will harm yourself. Meanwhile, what should we do? وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish the salah. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. And also give the zakah. Focus on ibadah right now. Make your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strong. Don't focus on the other person. Don't focus on the opponent. Focus on yourself. Strengthen yourself. Strengthen your faith. You see, aqimu salah is the haqq of Allah. Atu zakah is the haqq of people. Give the rights of Allah and give the rights of mankind as well. Sometimes when we get stuck in our own problems, we forget the deen and we forget other people as well. And sometimes all we have to do is just look at what the other people are suffering from. And when we look at what they're suffering from, our problems are nothing compared to them. The opposition that we face is nothing compared to what other people are suffering from. We cry about little things that happen to us. And I was just thinking that the people who are, you know, in Pakistan suffering from the floods, they've lost everything. Everything. Nothing left. And we cry about the little problems that we have. Oh, this person doesn't like me. This person said something bad about me. Is that really a problem? Farfu wasfahu. And what should our focus be on? Aqimu salah wa atu zakah. Make your connection strong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also give the haqq of the poor, of the needy, of the people. And remember that the word zakat is from the root letters zaykaf waw or zaykaf ya, and zakat literally means increase and growth. And it also means purity. What does it mean? Increase, growth, as well as purity. Because when a person gives zakat, he purifies his wealth. And he also increases in his wealth. He also grows in his wealth. It is said, zakat az-zar, meaning the zar, the crop, it grew. It became more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 103, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 103, take from their wealth sadaqah and purify them through that sadaqah. So what does that mean? That when a person gives zakat, when a person gives sadaqah, what does he do? He purifies himself and he also purifies his wealth. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And whatever that you send forth for yourselves, مِنْ خَيْرٍ, from any good at all, تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, you will find it with Allah. مَا تُقَدِّمُوا. تقدموا is from the root letters قاف دال ميم. قدم يقدم. We have done the word بما قدمت أيديهم. What does it mean? To send something ahead. To send something forward. So Allah says, whatever that you send forth, لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, for yourselves. أنفس is a plural of نفس. Meaning any action that you do for yourselves. Because it's only going to benefit you. And whatever that you send ahead, مِنْ خَيْرٍ, of any good. Remember the meaning of the word خَيْر? Anything that is beneficial and useful. And what is it used for in particular? It is used for wealth. Right? And it is also used for deen, knowledge, wahi. Over here, khayr refers to what a person sends ahead of his wealth and his deeds for his hereafter. What are the two things? First of all, wealth, and secondly, good deeds. So for example, a person has money in this dunya, and he gives sadaqah. He helps the poor. He helps the needy. So this is what? Apparently, he's losing that wealth. But where is it going? It is going ahead in his akhirah bank, in his akhirah account. مَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. So khayr, first of all, refers to the wealth that a person spends in the way of Allah. Secondly, it refers to good deeds, good actions. For example, over here we learn about إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ. Salat, prayer. Similarly, maintaining ties of kinship. All the various good deeds that a person could do. Whatever you send ahead for yourselves, what about it? Where is it going? Are you losing that money? Are you losing those actions? No. Allah says, تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You will find it with Allah. تَجِدُوهُ is from the root letters وَاوْ جِيمْ دَلْ وَجَدَ. What does وَجَدَ mean? To find something. To find something present. So you will find it. What does it refer to? Anything that you send ahead for your hereafter. Whether it is some money that you gave in sadaqah over here, or it is some good deed that you did, you're going to find it in the hereafter. How? How are you going to find it in the hereafter? In the form of reward. In the form of reward. And remember that a good deed that a person does is multiplied 10 times. A person gets reward 10 times more than the good deed that he performed. So تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, you will find it with Allah, meaning you will find the reward of it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you notice over here Allah says, مَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, whatever that you send forth for yourselves. When a person dies, people ask, what did he leave behind? Isn't it? People ask, what did he leave behind? And the angels ask, what did he send ahead? People ask, how much money did he leave behind? The angels ask, how much money did he send ahead for his hereafter? مَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You will find it with Allah. So what should our focus be on? Preparing for the akhirah. This life is full of tests. There will be difficulties. There will be trials from people from different situations. No matter what situation a person is in, what should he be thinking about? His akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Muzzammil, ayah number 20, هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. It is better and greater in reward. What? The reward of the hereafter is better and greater. So our focus should be on the hereafter. تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You will find it with Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah. بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He is seeing, He is watching every single action that you do. بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. مَا over here gives the meaning of whatsoever. Whatever that you do, He is basir of it. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basir, is from the root letters ba sad ra, basir. What does basir mean? Vision. But when basir is used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who observes, who watches every single thing, every single action, and all the time. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, there are two types of basr, two types of vision. One is to see something with the eye, and the other is to know about it. It is of ilm, to be aware of it, to watch something, to be aware of it. So he is basir of everything, meaning he sees and he knows every single thing that you do, in open, in secret. Whether it is an action that you do with your body, or it is a feeling that you have in the heart, a decision that you make in the heart. بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ He is watching every single thing that we do, every penny we spend, every action we do. So when he is aware of every action that you do, if it's good, he will reward for it. So what do we learn from this ayah? That first of all, as a Muslim who is striving to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will face opposition from many. Therefore, be prepared. And everyone's opposition may be different. One person may face opposition from a spouse. Another may face opposition from friends. Another may face opposition from children. Another may face opposition from money. Could be different things. Be prepared. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Be prepared. Another lesson that we learn from this is that in response to the opposition, don't react negatively. Don't react negatively. Don't come down to taking revenge. But be patient. Forgive. Overlook. And at the same time, remain focused on your mission. Remain focused on your goal. When you become serious about your deen, what's your goal? You want to study the Qur'an. You want to implement the Qur'an. Remain focused on that. Don't get distracted. Because this is what shaitan wants us to do. He wants us to leave what we're doing. And one of the ways in which he accomplishes that is by coming through people. Through people who hurt us, who emotionally blackmail us. So what are we supposed to do? Be prepared for the opposition, and in response to the opposition, don't react negatively or with revenge, but instead, remain focused on your mission. Also, we learn from this ayah that we should avoid hasad. We should stay away from envy, from jealousy, because it's not going to get us anywhere. Also, we learn from this ayah that salat and zakat, performing the salat and giving the zakat, they are steps that take us to victory. They are steps that take us to success in life. Because Allah tells us over here, forgive, forget for now, and what should you be focusing on right now? Taking revenge? No. You should be focusing on salat and zakat. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ So if we want success, what do we have to do? Give the haqq of Allah and give the haqq of people. Many times we think that if we do this, how are we going to do our work in order to be successful? This is a part of the work. This is a part of a believer's life. He never leaves these two things. Also, we learn from this ayah that every good deed that a person does, it is not wasted. It is not wasted. It is being preserved for the hereafter. تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ You will find it with Allah. And whatever good deed that a person does, he is benefiting himself. Because Allah says, مَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ Whatever that you send forward, for yourselves. Meaning for your own benefit. So any good deed that we do, who are we benefiting? Ourselves. And another very important lesson that we learn is that we should become focused on our hereafter. You see, in the summer, you see animals, for example, squirrels. What are they doing? What do they do? They eat their food, okay, they do whatever they want, but they also prepare for the winter, right? They prepare for the next stage. So similarly, this life is temporary. Just as seasons are temporary, this life is temporary. Soon it will be over. We have to do something for our hereafter before this life is over, before this season is over. Let's listen to the recitation, then we'll continue.
وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ فاعفوا واصفحوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره إن الله على كل شيء قدير وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله إن الله بما تعملون بصير.
We see in this ayah that ما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله, and also that إن الله بما تعملون بصير. Every good deed that a person does, no matter how small or big it may be, it is of value. So we should not disregard any good deed, because Allah says, مَا تُقَدِّمُوا, whatsoever, whether it is small or it is big. A hadith in Bukhari, it tells us, اتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Save yourself from the fire, even if it is by giving what? Half of a date. Half of a date. Something as small as that. We need all of these good deeds. You never know which good deed might help you. Be more haris, be more greedy for good deeds. Then Allah says, وَقَالُوا, and they say, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. None will enter paradise except one who is a Jew or a Christian. In this ayah, another claim of the Bani Israel is being refuted. That they say, meaning the Bani Israel, the Yehud and the Nasara, they say, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. يَدْخُلَ is from دَال خَا لَام. We have done the word أُدْخُلُوا before. دُخُول is to enter, to go in. So none will enter paradise, إِلَّا except who? مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا. A person who is a Hud. أَوْ Nasara or Nasara. The word Hud is the plural of the word Ha'id. It is the plural of the word Ha'id. Ha'id is a Jew. Hud are what? Jews. Hud is a plural. And Nasara is the plural of the word Nasran. It is the plural of the word Nasran. So they say, none will enter paradise except for those who are Jews or those who are Christians. What does it mean by this? That each party separately claims that only they will go to Jannah. The Jews claim that only they will go to paradise. The Christians claim that only they will go to paradise. Allah says, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. These are only their false passions, their false hopes, their vain desires, their fond hopes, their idle expectations. The word أَمَانِي is the plural of أُمْنِيَة. And amani, as we have done before, that it is a hope, a desire, a wish that is unrealistic. That is not true. Which is why this word is also used for kadhib. It is also used for lies. It is also said that amani is used for hopes. It is used for something that a person hopes for, but cannot achieve. He can never achieve that. So it's only a wish. It is only a desire. It's only a hope. So Allah says these are only their false passions. These are only their idle expectations. قُلْ say, meaning O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ. Bring your proof. Bring your evidence that it is only you who will go to Jannah because you belong to this particular group. The word هَاتُوا is a combination of هَا and أَتُوا. It is a combination of هَا and أَتُوا. When joined together, it doesn't become هَا أَتُوا, but it just becomes into hatu. Ha is for exclamation. What is it? It is for the purpose of exclamation. And atu is from the root letters hamzataya, ityan, which means to come, to bring. So hatu, bring. Do you see something? The exclamation is within the word. There is no separate exclamation mark. So hatu, bring burhanakum. The word burhan is from the root letters ba-ra-ha. Ba-ra-ha. Some say that it's from the root letters ba-ra-ha-noon. Both are correct. Ba-ra-ha-noon. Ba-ra-ha is used for something that is white, very white. For something that is shining, very radiant, very bright. This is what baraha is used for. And baraha shay is when something becomes clear, when something becomes very bright, when something becomes visible, clear. How? By its signs. That it's easy to recognize it. It's very obvious. You can't deny it at all. For example, if a child is crying, what does that show? What does that show? The crying is a sign which shows that either he's hungry, or he needs a change, or he wants to do something else. It's clear. The signs, they show. So baraha shay is when something becomes very clear, when something becomes manifest. So burhan is used for an argument. It is used for an evidence, for a proof. But what kind of a proof is this? It is used for a final argument that remains undefeated. It is used for a final argument that remains undefeated. It is an argument, it is a proof that negates the proof of the opponent. What does it do? It negates the proof of the opponent and it produces certainty. So burhan is like a convincing proof, a proof that convinces the other, that there is nothing left to say after that. So hatu burhanakum, bring your solid evidence for this, that really it is only you who is going to paradise and not anybody else. In kuntum sadiqeen, if you're truthful. Truthful in what? In your claim that only you're going to paradise. So we see in this ayah that when a person makes a claim, what should we ask? For proof, for evidence. Whenever a person says something, especially if it's regarding the deen, we must know the evidence behind it. We must know the evidence behind it. Hatu burhanakum. So if somebody tells you, read this on Friday and you will go to Jannah, or you read this 10,000 times, or just do this action, that's your book for paradise. What should we do? Know the evidence. Ask for the evidence. Hatu burhanakum. Is it mentioned in the Quran? Is it mentioned in the Sunnah? If it's not, then it's not really an evidence. Because burhan is a convincing proof. And a proof is convincing when it's relevant and when it's authentic. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, how is it that a person can really enter Jannah? Is it because he belongs to a particular group? No. What is it that takes a person to Jannah? Bala, yes, why not? What does it mean by bala over here? That yes, this is the person who is going to go to Jannah. Who is going to go to Jannah? Man aslama wajhahu lillah. The person who submits his face to Allah. Man aslama wajhahu lillahi. Aslama is from the root letters seen, lam, meem. Seen, lam, meem. The word Muslim, Islam, assalamu alaykum are all from the same root. Salama means to be safe. What does it mean? To be safe, to be secure. Assalamu alaykum, what does it mean? Peace be upon you, meaning you're safe from me. Salama means to be safe and to be secure. And Islam is to submit, to surrender oneself. What does it mean? To submit or to surrender oneself. Because when a person submits himself to Allah, he is safe. He is secure. And when a person submits himself, where is he going to go? Darus Salam, the home of the peace, which is Jannah. So, Islam is to submit oneself, to submit one's will? To whose command? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. The word Muslim, which is on the same root in the Arabic language, is used for a camel. Which camel? It is used for a camel that submits to the will of the master. So wherever the master takes a camel, what does the camel do? Camel follows without any objection. And sometimes you will see literally that the master is only a small kid. You might have seen in pictures that sometimes literally it's a small boy, a little boy, who is leading a huge camel behind him. So Muslim is a camel who is submitted. Submitted to who? to his master. And technically, Muslim is a person who has submitted his will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he has submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does that mean? That he will obey Allah's commands. He will become humble. He will listen. He will do whatever that he is doing. So, man aslama, whoever submitted, what did he submit? Wajhahu lillah, his face for Allah. The word wajh is from the root letters waw jim ha, and the word wajh literally means face. Literally means face. But the word wajh is figuratively used to mean a person's will, a person's entire being. Because if you think about it, what's in our face? Our eyes, our mouth, the ears are on the side, behind the forehead is the brain, right? So our face has all of our senses, right? So submitting one's face means submitting the entire being of a person, entirely and completely. So the Arabs, they would use the word wajh to designate the entire person. So this is one meaning of the word wajh. What is it? It's not just the face, but what does it mean? The entire person, the entire being. Because if the face submits, then obviously the other parts will also submit. If a person's accepting something in his mind, what is that going to show? That he's going to accept with his body as well, right? When he listens to something, what does that show? That he's going to do something in his action as well. So when the face submits, then the rest of the body is going to follow. And because face is the most noble part of the body, if the face is going to be submitted, then obviously you're going to submit your hands, you're going to submit your feet, you're going to submit your legs, you're going to submit your arms. What does that mean? That you're going to use all of these parts of your body only in the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one meaning of the word wajh. Secondly, the word wajh is also used for intention. It is also used for intention, for a person's thinking, for a person's goal, irada. For example, the Arabs would say, أَيْنَ وَجْهُهُ or أَيْنَ كَانَ وَجْهُ فُلَانٌ, meaning where is he headed to? What is his goal? What is his intention? So مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ, what does it mean? Whoever submits his entire being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or whoever submits his goal, his intention to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning whatever he does it for Allah. So man aslama wajhahu lillah, what does it signify? It signifies that a person believes in the oneness of Allah and he submits entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. He submits entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And at the same time, وَهُوَ مُحْسِن, and he is also a muhsin. Muhsin, we have done this word earlier as well. It is from the root letters حَسِنُون. حُسْن means beauty. And muhsin is one who brings beauty to his actions. One who does his actions with quality. He doesn't just do things to get by, to just put a check mark, to just say, yeah, I did it 7 times. But he does it to the level of excellence. He brings quality to his work. He is a muhsin. So how is a person muhsin when it comes to deen? When his actions are according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ. When his actions are according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. What do we call the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is uswatun hasanah. Muhsin is one who follows that uswa, that is hasanah. Because if you think about it, whose salah was the most beautiful? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whose dhikr was the most beautiful? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whose sadaqah was the most beautiful? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, muhsin is one who does his actions according to the way that Allah wants him to. And for us, what is that way? The way of the Prophet ﷺ. So who is going to Jannah? First of all, the person who submits entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning whatever he does it for the sake of Allah. And secondly, he is a muhsin, meaning he does his actions according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. So for him, his reward is with his Lord. It is عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. Notice again and again that the reward is with Allah. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. What does it mean by it is with Allah? What does that show? When this is said that the reward is with Allah, it tells us two things. First of all, to show to us that the reward is great. That the reward is azeem. It is not an ordinary reward. It is not an ordinary wage. It is great. Because something that is from someone who is azeem is also going to be azeem. You know the dua that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite before saying the salam in salah? That, فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. Forgive me with a forgiveness that is from you. مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. What does that show? Forgiveness from you. Meaning forgiveness that is great. Forgiveness that is great. So, أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي. What does عِنْدَ indicate? That the reward is great. Secondly, this also indicates that the reward is secure. Because it is with Allah. And whatever is with Allah is never going to be wasted. It is never going to get lost. You give something to someone to keep for you, and you always have this fear, what if they lose it? You keep your money in the bank, in the locker, what feeling do you have all the time? What if something happens? But when something is secure with Allah, it's never going to be lost. So for such a person, his reward is with Allah. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. And there will be no fear upon them. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Nor will they grieve. No fear of the future, and they will have no grief over, no regrets over the past either. And this can only be possible in Jannah, in paradise. Because Jannah is a place that is free from all sorrows, from all fears, from all worries. So such are the ones who will go to Jannah. So what do we learn from this ayah? That the people of Jannah have two qualities. And what are they? That they submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have ikhlas. They do their actions sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, they follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we want to get to Jannah, what do we have to do? What do we have to do? These two things. And we also see that either of these are not important. Meaning, either of these on their own are not enough. Both are essential. If a person only says, yes, I do everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he, you know, instead of praying 4 rak'ah for dhuhr, he prays 5. Instead of fasting in the month of Ramadan, he says, no, I'll fast the entire month of Shawwal. I'll consider that to be my month of worship. Not Ramadan, but Shawwal. Is that going to be acceptable? No. Both are essential. So who is a muhsin? One who does actions for Allah. And secondly, he does his actions according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ بَلَى مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِندَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.